Welcome to the Poetry on Fire Fall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. The online Bible study for the porch is here to consider how the early church served the Lord. To restore the priesthood of the believer and the world-shaking influence the early church had. And we do that by delving deeper into Scripture. We don't water it down. We don't filter it. And I believe by doing so, we find the church the Lord intended, not the one man created. The church age is still in effect. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you have any questions. Use the contact button. If you'd like to support us, go to firefalltalkradio.com, and down at the bottom of the main page, you'll find ways to do that. We appreciate your support and encouragement. We appreciate our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. Subscribe to the Firefall Talk Radio Spreaker app to get updates. Make the main Spreaker account a favorite and watch for new shows. The porch will be shifting from its own show to the main account. It will be easier for us to better distribute to other streaming services by doing it that way. When we keep it as a separate show, it makes it a little more difficult. So we're streamlining everything. The other day we posted two shows to the main account. I'll talk about those in a little while. Starting out with praise reports and prayer requests, well, I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, my family, our grandson JJ, who's doing very well, our furry kids, all of my other unfurry kids, my sons and daughter-in-laws, and everything the Lord has given us. I praise him for the protection, for the, you know, we just were in the middle of a horrendous storm here, and the roof over our head and his angelic covering and the promises. I trust in those things. I praise him for the ministry he lets me work. I praise him for the effect that the special edition of Reflections in the Dark, which was posted on the main account yesterday about the recent lunar eclipse, had such a powerful effect. Thank you for those of you that wrote and let us know. Praise him for the dreams and the visions, for the healing virtues, for the ability to praise him, to sing, to worship, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through. We have that ability. Praise him for being a new creation, living in these prophetic times, living in America while those times are happening, giving us the signs that he's getting ready to come back. I want to pray for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, peace of Israel, and that means I'm praying for the Prince of Peace to return. For the fatherless, the widow, the innocents, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world, I pray for them. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, my family, all of you. Some of you going through some physical, emotional, mental, spiritual troubles. I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you be healed. Right now, have the faith, believe, receive. I praise him for the ability to do that, and I pray for his angelic protection, his Psalm 91 covering, the promises that he's given us, for the inspiration to keep going. I pray for that for me and for all of you. I pray for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call to action. For those who are called to bless, to be a blessing, let's prosper in accordance with his word, which means it's for the purpose of the benefit of the kingdom. I'm praying for people to honor their word, keep their promises, do what they say they're going to do. As I've already mentioned, the documentary was shorted by $10,000 from an original commitment. Well, I'm praying for it to be able to finish it and release it, so I'm praying for that money to come forward in Yeshua's name. Kim in Fort Mitchell is the only other praise report and prayer request we have, and she, of course, always starts out with the most important thing. She praises him, her heavenly Father, for the gift of her salvation and her sobriety. She knows that without this, without all the prayers, when she feels down and sad, she just tells herself, where would you be without your salvation right now? You know, if we held on to that concept in the midst of everything else, it starts at the cross. Everything starts at the cross. Says, I praise him for my children, everything he provides for us, for this ministry, the Porch Families, for her dog Bruno, his never-ending love and patience with her. Apparently, a baby rabbit got into the yard, and Bruno, being a dog, hurt the baby rabbit. They tried to get it fixed up at the vet, but it didn't work out. They tried. They did their best. No judgment on Bruno. He's just protecting his yard. So she's praying for healing and protection over her and her family, all the Porch Families. She said, Father, save my mother and husband's soul for her child support case. For blessings, Father, please provide for my family. Family members of the Porch here, Kim has some needs. She probably won't put them out there, and I won't either. But if you would like to help out, reach out to me to go to FirefallTalkRadio.com or on SolomonsPorch.org, and I will let you know how to do it. Please provide for my family, Stacy's family, this ministry, deliver my son, teach him right from wrong, heal her dog, and heal our minds, bodies, and spirits, and give us the strength to shine his light in Yeshua's name. Father, you know everything. You knew it before I was going to say it. But we boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. You are an awesome God and an awesome Father. Right now, we ask that you would bless us, that you'd hear our prayers, meet our needs, glorify yourself in our lives. Any hindrance to those things, any activity from the fallen that would try to keep that from happening, we pray against it. We push back against it. We all touch and agree as one. And we break the chains. We open the doors. And we say, let it flow. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what you did. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit back. We thank you for allowing us to work with you in these final days to shine the light, to set the captives free, and to make straight the highway for the return of the King. And, O Lord, do we long for your return. So touch us now, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Touch us in every area of our life. Meet every need that we know, and some we may not even know that are either coming or unknown to us. Bless this time, Lord. Let your word go forth, and let your will be done. In Yeshua's name, amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we are continuing our look at the inside-out nature of a true believer in Yeshua. Now, if we're going to do that, we have to address the external influence of the enemy that creates an internal war within us. We just cannot ignore that we live in a war zone. Go with me to Ephesians 6, starting verse 10, Amplified Version. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, tie into what we talked about, being abiding in the vine, being attached to him, letting him flow through you. So why is this so important? Why is it important to understand the authority and the nature of the victory of Calvary? Well, earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul explains, "You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, the prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." There is an external influence on humanity of which we were once a part of, that we've been translated out of into his kingdom. But that does not mean that influence stopped. That word power in that scripture, exousia, power, authority, jurisdiction, the power of rule or government, the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. Well, there's two powers in the world. There's the power of God and the power of Hasatan, Satan, through the fallen, through their demonic offspring. Those are the only two powers. Men have no power. And we need to understand this concept of authority. Remember Matthew 28:18, Yeshua came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth and on earth. Now go." All power, all authority, all jurisdiction has been given to me. Now go. He makes it very clear that there is a special dispensation of power, of authority. The Father gave it to him. He gives it to us. Later on, we see that word in Revelation 12:10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Salvation, strength, and the power of Messiah is what cast down the accuser. Power, authority, the jurisdiction of a spiritual monarch or ruler. Ephesians 3:10. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly place." Let me read that again. Listen to the words. "The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church." Not by God, not by the angels, but by us, to the powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Remember Ephesians 6:12. "I read it, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." It's the church's job to do that. Colossians 1:16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Later on in Colossians 2, verses 10 and 15, "And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." 1 Peter 3:22, Yeshua has gone into heaven, is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and power have been made subject to him. Well, obviously, the writers of the letters, the epistles of the New Testament, seem to think that we needed to understand the aspect of authority and influence in both the natural and the supernatural realm. The early church understood the warfare. They understood the constant struggle with these powers. But for some reason, I believe I know why, But for some reason, we've been told by contemporary teachers, it's not important. It's all been done on Calvary. You don't have to do any of those things. Live your best life now. Don't worry about that spiritual warfare stuff. It's not necessary. Well, that would mean that these teachers are refuting the teachings of the disciples, the teachings of the apostles. If I'm going to go with anybody's teaching, I'm going to go with the original source. 1 Peter 5, starting verse 6, therefore humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant, cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, the adversary, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same, the identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of believers throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Messiah Yeshua, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion, power, authority, rule forever and ever. Amen. Be sober, self-disciplined, think rationally, not foolishly. Be vigilant, alert to the spiritual pitfalls of life and the influence of the enemy. Take appropriate steps, making certain that you don't stumble. Your adversary, Satan, which is what Satan means, adversary, is our avowed enemy. The kingdom of darkness are our enemy. There are no friends in that kingdom. They will never cease to be hostile toward us. And Satan is always accusing us before God, always reminding him of your failures and what you've done. He will also do it to you, and we're going to discuss that because many of you reached out to me after listening to that show, shocked that so many people right now are hearing their sins, their past, their childhood, all the things they've ever done, be replayed to them. The accusations are streaming forth at them. This roaring lion, he's cunning, he's cruel. He attacks when least expected to destroy completely those who he attacks. And when a lion attacks a pride, he doesn't go after the strong ones in the front. He goes after the old, the young, and the sick. That's why we need to stay together. That's why we need to pray for one another. That's why we need to do this in unity. And we have to resist him. We're not commanded to run. We're not commanded to hide, put our heads in the sand, lie down. We are commanded to resist, to fight rather than flee. And victory comes when we remain committed to God, because he's greater than our enemy. Greater is he that is in us than he that is against us. And after it's all said and done, no matter what the outcome is, we know it will be victory, but we may get scruffed up. We may get knocked down. We may suffer some loss. He will perfect us like a doctor setting a broken bone. He will mend our lives and make us whole. He will establish us and strengthen us, giving us the ability to succeed for him. And then settle us, settle down. As a consequence of facing the attacks of the enemy, God will build us a firm foundation that will make us steadfast and immovable. This is what's going on. This is what's going on in the world. You're not the only one who feels the way you do. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Colossians 4:16-18. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There it is, inside out. Outside's perishing, inside's being renewed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I mean, I'm just going to keep going on here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We will refute the arguments and the theories and the reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that the enemy sends our way that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, no matter from what source, natural or supernatural. And we will lead every thought and purpose away from captivity to the obedience of the Messiah. We'll follow his example. We'll do it his way. We'll have his thoughts. We'll have the mind of Messiah. A couple of weeks ago, I remember I told you, Mark 7:21-22, we realized that from the inside comes the things of the heart, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. See, the enemy will nurture and energize those aspects of the flesh. They will do it to keep us in conflict to the way and will of God for our lives. So this is where this goes into what I talked about with Joe Citrone. We did a special edition of Reflections in the Dark. I realized that if we live a life inside out, the counterfeit world of the fallen is outside in. So on July 27, 2018, there was the longest lunar eclipse in the 21st century. It lasted 103 minutes of totality from start to finish. It was 4 hours long. It was also a blood moon, which signifies judgment. Now, if you remember back on August 21st of 2017, we had what was called the Great American Eclipse. That was a solar eclipse. It covered all of America. This particular lunar eclipse was visible over Eastern Africa, Southern Africa, Central Asia, and over South America, Western Africa and Europe, and Eastern Asia and Australia got parts of it. What does that have to do with anything, Richard? God created the pure. The enemy takes the pure and uses it as a counterfeit. We know that the stars were created to provide a calendar system, Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." We know that he has used them through prophecy and eschatology to let us know what he's doing or what's coming. That's how the wise men who were taking what I believe to be the teachings of Daniel in Babylon were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the king when they followed that star. The stars are also meant to declare God's glory to men. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So we can't completely ignore what's going on. We have to look for the counterfeit to see what the enemy's doing, see how it will affect us so that we can respond to it. Alan Guth, who's the creator of the theory of cosmic inflation, has approximated that the total size of all that was created in the Big Bang calculates to 306 trillion. That's a 3 followed by 23 zeros, which is actually much larger than the observable universe. So God, through astronomy, which is the study of the stars, the formation of the stars, has left mankind no excuse regarding his awesome power and creative ability. The heavens are a constant testament that he exists. So that word astronomy is the Greek meaning for star formation. It is an actual branch of science dedicated to studying the bodies in outer space. So astronomy as a science is investigating God's creation. So it's okay for us to pay attention to what's going on astronomically. The problem is when we get caught up in the data that contradicts the Bible, or we get caught up in the worship of heavenly objects. But in Deuteronomy 4:19, the Lord warned us about this. Beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all people under the whole heaven. The enemy understood. And he knew that if he used that counterfeit, which only works if it's based upon the real, he could draw men away. And that's what astrology is all about. That's what horoscopes are all about. Many cultures worship the sun, the moon, and the stars as actual gods. In fact, the planets in our solar system are named after Roman gods. In this current day, the worship's a little subtler. So astrology is the study of the movements and relative patterns of the positions of celestial objects as a means for divination, meaning they are seeking information about human and terrestrial affairs from the extraterrestrial in heaven. Of course, if we talk about extraterrestrial, we have to add in another influence, and that would be what? The fallen angels and their demonic offspring. So in astrology, they search for meaning in the sky. This traces back to Babylon and Assyria, which was a direct offshoot of the Babylonian culture, that they used the stars to determine the will and intention of the gods, as well as many other omens. So who do you think that would inspire that? Who do you think would use the stars and the planets and their positions to give messages to people, possibly even their own? See, we don't seek our answers from the stars. We seek it from the one who made them. But I had a revelation the other day. I was thinking that if the fallen, who do not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit and do not have the massive hive mind that they will have after the church is raptured out, they have to find another way to get their message out. And I believe they do that through astrology. They do it through this massive celestial message board to not only tell their own what they're doing, but to influence mankind. For account of it to work, it must reveal something about the real. It must be based on the real. Otherwise, it's a cheap counterfeit. You're not going to be fooled. So with this eclipse, I wanted to figure out, what's the enemy mimicking? How is it affecting us? Well, in their belief in astrology, the moon rules over the emotional body and intuition. Some of the information I'm about to give you is gleaned from the enemy's camp. I wanted to see, what were they thinking about this eclipse? What does it mean? And is it affecting us? And what I found out after Joe and I doing that show, we were being affected. People we knew were being affected. Now the listeners of this show are writing us saying, wow, you guys read my mind. Everything you talked about, I'm going through. So there is something going on here. The moon allows us to feel and reminds us that we are so much more than just what we see. Again, this is coming from the other side. The moon makes us feel connected to the cosmos and the skies, which is why over the years, we, the New Age, the Wiccan, look to the moon for guidance and understanding. They believe that with this July blood moon total eclipse, it was one of the most potent that they'll ever feel or experience, because it was the longest lunar eclipse in this century. Now, what I'm about to tell you was going to really go into the astrology part, but I want you to just bear with me. You know I would not deceive you. This particular blood moon total eclipse fell during the sign of Aquarius, but it didn't totally fit in Aquarius. See, this blood moon eclipse, they believe, opened a portal. It created a heightened sense of a heightened sensitivity to those that are in tune with that. What it would do is stir up the feelings of pain and love and joy and fear. And matter of fact, it would take all your emotional sludge and stir it up. Intense emotions, intense feelings of things that you'd forgotten about, wounds that you didn't even remember were there. And what I realize is, if the enemy stirs up pains and wounds and emotions without the healing power of the Lord, it's going to create what? Anxiety? And then it's going to create bondage, because you're going to look for an external way to dampen or mute the feelings, the manifestations. You're going to look for an external thing to stop the manifestation. Well, you're not going to stop them. It's just like when you take pain medication. It doesn't get rid of the problem. It just masks them. That's what the enemy does. The enemy masks things. But then he takes advantage of what you're feeling. This energy, they believe, would cause you to act impulsively, to lash out, to do something rash, to feel the heaviness of the world, hopeless and uncertain about your future. You would think that you were being conspired against. You would see things that weren't really there. You would think your feelings were the proper barometer of the truth. And if you acted on them, you would wind up destroying things and making them even worse before, because they would be false. So in the releasing and activating of these old pains, the enemy is setting up people to take advantage of them. A bait and switch. Supply and demand. Create a demand. Supply the solution. That's what this lunar eclipse on the 27th did. Now, the solar eclipse that we had on August 21st of last year signifies change, new beginnings, whereas a lunar eclipse signifies an opportunity to process those shifts. I believe that the Great American Eclipse, solar eclipse of August 21st, which happened under the dark moon called Lilith. And there was another episode I posted to explain all the information about that dark moon, Lilith, how it affected us, how it affected society. Ties to this lunar eclipse, it was a completion of a process to create a transformation within the fallen kingdom that would yield an external transformation, a new beginning. So in the New Age, the occult world, they believe that this full blood moon, the longest eclipse in history, which happened during Mercury, they believe it's primarily masculine. Now, isn't that interesting? The Lilith, the dark moon, feminine, triggered the Me Too movement, triggered rampant militant feminism and all the things we're seeing in society. Now we have a lunar eclipse that is masculine. Cosmic energy swirling all at once. Stirring things up. Well, did this particular lunar eclipse, did this particular moon have something attached to it? Remember I said it happened in Aquarius, but in actuality, Aquarius is what was visible, but in the actual positioning of the stars and the planets, it happened in Capricorn. What does that mean, Richard? Why does that have to do with anything? Well, Capricorn is a sea goat. It's a hybrid creation. It's actually referred to as Pan. Capricorn, the sea goat, with a fish's tail, is the representation of Pan, the Greek god of the wild, the shepherds, the flocks, Greek god of nature and mountains, rustic music, and lust, symbolized by upper body male, hindquarters legs of a goat, and horns of a goat, a satyr. Now, isn't that interesting? Lilith, consort to possibly Satan. Maybe she was the serpent in the garden. I'm not going to go into Lilith. I did almost 2 hours of a show, pieced it all together to tell you everything about Lilith. But here we have Pan, fertility. That's where we get the word panic from. Now, if we were to go looking for Pan, where would we look? You know where we would go? We would go to the base of Mount Hermon. There's the mouth of a large cave from which bubbles a clear, cold stream that helps form the headwaters of the Jordan River. That's where the Temple of Pan is. That's where the Pan Grotto is. Now, we don't hear about it too much because there is no P in the Arabic. So it's called Banias, B-A-N-I-A-S. Located at the foot of Mount Hermon, north of the Golan Heights. The shrine dedicated to Pan and Zeus are still there in various forms. Pan was worshipped there up until 5 AD. Oh, by the way, those caves and the stones are limestone, which we in SRT believe absorb not only information, but supernatural energy. So we had Lilith, half woman, half bird, hybrid human. We had Pan, half human, half goat. By the way, Pan's father was Hermes, who's a messenger god. The word angel means messenger. Oh, what else happened on Mount Hermon? Well, that was the site of the Watchers, who fell in the time of Jared, who created the problem that caused God to wipe out the whole earth except for 8 people during the Great Flood. And just as an FYI, many Jewish scholars believe that the tribe of Dan settled at the base of Mount Hermon. It's in the Bible, but it's mentioned at Caesarea Philippi, the Gospel of Mark and Matthew. Religious center, Canaanite god, Baal Gad, the god of good fortune. I mentioned Pan, many others. It's where Yeshua asked the disciples, who do they say the Son of Man is? Who do you say the Son of Man is? Where Peter made the first confession that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's where the Lord said the gates of Hades would not prevail against the church. It's where the Transfiguration, where Yeshua, Moses, and Elijah had a business meeting in the place where the watchers fell, as I believe, and in your face to the fallen, not too far from the statue of Pan, not that it really mattered to them. And this eclipse, what I call the Pan eclipse, went over that exact area, went over the Middle East, Asia, Africa, South America, went over the majority of the pyramids in the world, which they now have proven scientifically absorb and give off electromagnetic energy. 103 minutes of totality, 4 hours in duration. Remember I said anxiety. Panic. Panic leads to pandemonium. Lilith represents chaos. I believe the two formed a completion over this weekend. I guess they came together. They had a congress. We'll see what comes out of their union. In the Holman Bible Dictionary, anxiety is the state of mind wherein one is concerned about something or someone. It's a range of genuine concern, but can be created and become a distorted perspective of life. It's something we always battle in this fallen world. Many of you, like me, like Joe, and some people I've talked to over the last couple of days especially, but it's actually been going on for a little bit more. We've been drawn back to our mistakes. We've been reminded of our mistakes. The accuser of our brethren isn't just bombarding the Lord on the throne. He's speaking it to us. Remember when you did this, and reminding us of that. We have to be able to, wait a second, I'm born again. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What you're accusing me of is under the blood. Get behind me, Satan. Shut up. You have to literally do that. You have to take your thoughts captive. Because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and we become fruitful. That's Mark 4:19, red letters. The enemy's taking advantage of that. So here's what I think is happening. Whatever took place over this past weekend, tied to what happened in August, has created an explosion of negative, we'll call it negative energy. We'll just let the enemy have that one. But really, it's emotions, it's influence, it's supernatural. We have become uneasy. We've become worried. We're concentrating on things that we shouldn't be concentrating on. What did the Lord say about that? Did he address this? Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body or what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? Actually, it shortens your life. And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green tomorrow, and tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, What are we going to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And by the way, the enemy influences that to get you to go buy what you don't need and worry about it. How are you going to pay that bill? And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Don't fret. It causes harm. Don't let the enemy get in your head. Don't let what he's doing to his own affect you. We need to understand the Lord did not prohibit us from having concern about food and shelter, but he taught us to keep it in a proper perspective. Our priority should always be the kingdom of God, first and foremost. After that, it will fall in line. It's when you set your mind on the things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. In this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I could take that and flip it and tell you that the will of the fallen, the will of the powers of the prince of the air, the power that's coming from the heavenlies, which comes down upon us as if it's coming from the stars itself, the fallen stars, I'm not bound by their kingdom. I'm not bound by their will. And if they get into my mind and I don't shut them up, it will affect me. There's a war going on for your mind, for your heart, for your soul, for your family, for everything about you. And I'm not telling you to worry about it. I'm telling you to dig your heels in, clear your mind, get your praise on, as our brothers and sisters say. If it's bothering you and the enemy's gotten in there, turn on some praise music. And I'm not talking about Christian pop. I'm talking about praise and worship. I'm talking about things that glorify him, magnify him, and edify you. See, if you don't replace the darkness and the depression and the anxiety with his joy, the enemy's going to get you. He's going to trip you up. He's going to weigh you down. He's going to invade your dreams if you don't guard your mind. And I have to be honest with you, right now it is so powerful and pervasive that even though I do guard my mind, even though I do pray over those things, I'm still picking up on the signal. That may be the way I'm designed and how he uses me, or the fact that I pretty much live in the realm of the kingdom of God most of the time. But here's what I want you to get to. Always be full of the joy in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. That should be the focus. Yes, the lunar eclipse happened. Yes, the fallen are getting ready to come out of the pit. Yes, they are. The spirit of lawlessness is out and about. It's been out and about for a long time. Yes, the enemy's doing wacky things, making people do crazy things. Evil has gotten worse. Lawlessness, sin, and all those things. But my hope is in the Lord. My hope is that he's coming soon, so don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Messiah Yeshua. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. I told a story during the show with Joe about a female police officer that got called to a disturbance. It was 6 foot. Collegiate athlete on something, didn't respond to the baton or her canine who was biting him. He fought her, shattered her nose, broke the sinus orbit. Finally, backup showed up and helped her, and she was a bloody mess. She actually posted the pictures of herself to let people know what happened. She was a bloody mess. And she said something that I took spiritual implications. She said, I didn't panic. I didn't become fearful. I understood that he was going for my gun. The fight would probably lasted only 5 minutes, but it felt like forever. I knew my canine was biting him, but didn't mean a thing. What helped me was my training, that I had trained, that I had battled, that I had prepared for this moment, and I didn't become afraid. She went home and cleaned off all the blood, gave her canine some food, and put her in a crate so she could rest to get prepared to go back to work. Folks, we live in a fallen world. We're in a battle. There's an enemy that you may just, well, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and he laughs at you because he's a little more powerful than you thought. He resists you. He keeps going like that guy on drugs, not responding to the baton or the dog or anything. What you have to do is you got to keep wrestling. You got to remember the training. You have to reach back for those scriptures that should be ingrained in your head, that you can fire them off like guns in a bullet, and keep going until the spirit submits. That's the time we're living in. A little dab of duty of oil won't happen. It won't work. These people that tell you that, oh, just say this, he'll pop and disappear. Those are people that haven't been in a battle in a very long time, if they ever were in one. I'm telling you right now, we're living in a time that the enemy's jacked up on some kind of supernatural steroid, some kind of drug. So if the enemy is stirring up his people, if he's stirring up their insides to make them act out, you need to be stirred up from the soul and the spirit of your mind that what comes out of it will be Yeshua. And if the enemy gets you through your defenses, and I remember I mentioned that it does happen. Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes it doesn't turn out the way you wanted. God's not on your plan. He's on his plan. And you become frustrated. I don't understand, Lord. This wasn't how I thought it would turn out. Well, the answer's in what I said. It wasn't what I thought. What did he think? The scripture that I rely on, Habakkuk 3:17-19. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. We're living in a time, this is my opinion, we're living in a time where the enemy is feeding the minds of his followers and disrupting ours. He's using social media, he's using entertainment like Hollywood, to feed the minds and the darkness and the souls of those who believe in him. We've reached a point in society where pedophilia isn't a big thing. Some people think it should be accepted. Some think you can joke about it, say whatever you want. It's okay. I'm sorry. I live in a world, in a society, made by the God of all creation, and those things are despicable. They are abhorrent. They are from the fallen themselves. I know it traces back to the days of Noah. I know the practices of Babylon, of Canaan, of those places that they were going into, the things that God said to them, do not do, or the things we're seeing and society saying it's okay to do, which tells me that the fallen are influencing our society. They're getting into the hearts and the minds. The external is feeding the internal corruption. Well, the Lord confirmed that in Luke 11:39 when he said to the Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. It's full of corruption. So what does this mean for us? This is what I think it means. I'm just going to give you my opinion. You can do with it what you want. I've already stated I believe that it's a time of completion by the enemy for a radical change or war against the system of God. The completion of the union between Lilith and Pan, between the solar eclipse of August 21st to the lunar eclipse of July 27th. A message has been delivered, and the energy to fulfill the assignment has been acquired. For me, it means the time of strengthening our resolve in our commitment to his will and the future for us as we await his change, the transformation of this body, so that our inner man and our outer man match. Everybody likes to talk about karma. Karma is a counterfeit for sowing and reaping. That was one of the messages to the New Age and the occult of this lunar eclipse. And if you're a believer and I hear you use the word karma, we're going to have a problem. We don't live by karma. We live by biblical sowing and reaping by the God of all creation. So we need to sow into the kingdom. We need to sow into our relationship with him to reap his harvest for us. That word harvest has been used over and over in many of the messages on the New Age and Wiccan website about this eclipse. Well, folks, I'm looking for a harvest. Not just in my life, not just for this ministry, not just to my calling, which has been refined and renewed, rededicated. I'm looking for the harvest. I'm looking to get involved in the harvest. I'm looking to go into the caves and set the captives free. I'm looking to kick down the gates of hell, which I know can't resist me anyway. But if a bunch of you come with me, it'll be even better. I'm looking for a harvest to rescue the lost souls, to rescue our sons and our daughters, to be able to stand with you in your battles. I'm looking for completion. I believe it's time to redirect our commitment to his calling on our life and a fine-tuning of our kingdom perspective. Stop listening to the world. Stop listening to false teachers. Stop listening to false teachers. We'll put your eyes on you. Get your eyes on him. Get your eyes on his kingdom. What does he want from you for him? I'm believing that we have been through some health and personal and professional issues that have become a distraction because we've turned inward when we should have been turning upward. I believe breakthrough comes when we desire his perfect will in our lives for his purpose and pleasure. So I guess the answer is in seeking first the kingdom of God. So let me leave you with this before I pray. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Messiah. It's all about the second coming, folks. That's what it's about. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son. I come to you in the midst of everything the enemy is doing in this fallen world, and I say I don't care what he's doing. I resist him. I dig my heels in. I put up the shield of faith. I grab the sword of the Spirit. The helmet's in place. The breastplate's on. The belt of truth is holding it all together. I believe that you are bestowing upon us your glory and your spirit and your love for the lost and the dying, your love for one another, our love for you. So that we can resist, we can withstand, we can push back, we can kick in the gates of Hades, set the captives free, preach the gospel, go into all the world with the authority that you have delegated to us after the cross, after the empty tomb, after the upper room, after sitting down at the right hand of the Father and sending us your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. Right now, all the heaviness of these last couple of days, all the incriminations, recriminations, accusations, everything the enemy has dredged up, let the glory of God hit you. Let the blood of the Lamb wash you clean. Let's break free of the heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. Wherever you are right now, begin to praise him for what you have. Tell him how much you love him. Shake it off. Get rid of it. Don't let the enemy get into your head and your mind. Pray over your mind before you go to sleep. Block him out. But even if he gets in, even if you have a night terror, even if somehow one of the big guys slips through the cracks, don't let fear or anxiety come upon you. Understand you live in a war zone. You're living in the jungle in a tent. There are predators out there, but you are protected. You're okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this power, this authority, this delegated jurisdiction over the kingdom of darkness, over this fallen world, and we await your return. We await and long to see you again, Lord, but until that time comes, we're going to tarry. We're going to do what you called us to do, and we're going to shine. We're going to shine the light, and we're going to push back the darkness in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Gunn. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.